Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and a great morning it is. I thank you for the opportunity, God, for being able to come before mothers and daughters around the world via the internet. May they be on the phone. What a wonderful opportunity to share conversations and to share our stories. Thank you, God. Thank you for an opportunity. I thank all the mothers and daughters that come on and talk about their situation, share their stories, and we're getting great results. We're getting results that people are seeing the goodness of God and how God worked in their lives and the lives of other people, which builds faith for other mothers to know that they're not going through a situation by themselves, that there are other mothers and daughters out there that share the same or similar situations, and that we as mothers coming together can save our daughters and build strong relationships which create healthier families. So God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that this morning and each Saturday morning as we come and just have an honest conversation. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I thank you. Today is Saturday morning at 10, and it's just a wonderful time to be able to have a conversation. Like I tell you, and most mornings, it's just to sit back, relax, have a cup of coffee, and whatever your favorite drink, and sit around the table with your daughter, your friends, whomever. Even if your daughter's someplace else, just have her know that she can listen. And she can go on the internet, go to www.blogtalkradio via the computer, and go to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, and click the on-air button, or she could simply call in at 347-539-5078 to listen to the conversation at any time during the conversation that you want to share your point of view or story about you and your mother, then you just click one, and you'll be able to do that as well. Our topic today is a very exciting topic. It really is one that I get a lot of when I'm doing counseling with mothers and daughters. And I'm just going to give you the topic, then we'll go into the discussion of it. The topic is, Mother, I need you. Are your daughter crying out for your help? I want you to think about that. Is your daughter crying out for help? Is she saying, Mother, I need you? And sometimes, you know, you may justify saying, no, she's not, she don't need me, she's grown, she's this and she's that. But keep in mind, they still are little girls. They still are little girls. All right, again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and a couple things I just want to discuss with you. For the upcoming year, keep in mind next November we're having the Mother and Daughter Ball. I want you to be able to put that down. It's going to be the second weekend of November. Just mark that date. I'm having some little difficulties on getting things onto our website right now, so I apologize for that. Hopefully we can get that cleared up and get those dates on there so that you can go in. But I want you to mark November, and just keep in mind it's going to be the Cinderella Ball, and it's going to be in Miami, Florida, so that you can kind of plan that around your calendar. I want to also thank the ambassadors for all the hard work that they do. They are our support system for the mother and daughter programming and the things that we do are planning for next year. Again, our topic is Mother, Help. Mother, I need you. I'm sorry. I need you. Are your daughter crying out for help? Now, when we're talking about Mother, I need you, and if your daughter's crying out for help and, you know, things of that nature. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, my daughter's just absolutely, you know, independent, and she does what she does, and she really doesn't need me. She's grown. So I'll just, you know, I stay out of her way and I just keep my opinions to myself. That's not the case. I'm telling you, if you look at yourself as a mother, you will notice that your relationship with your mother, how many times would you want to go back to your mother and just lay your head in her lap and have her just rub your head and tell you that everything is going to be okay? It's something about that relationship with your mother, that just to be in the presence of your mother makes it okay. Even if a word is not said, just to be there. Sometimes, you know, you may just go to your mother's house and just sit at the table and don't say anything. And your mother would say to you, she would ask you the question, what's wrong? Because she knew, she could feel it from the moment you walk in the house. Now, it's up to you to have the honest conversation. And the most times she's, oh, nothing. There's nothing wrong. And you might say, well, no, something's wrong. What's wrong? Nothing. There's nothing wrong. So I'm saying to you that we have to look beyond what is being said and actually look at the actions of the person that needs you, which in most cases is your daughter. Now, I know in our audience, I'm talking to mothers that say, well, you know, I don't have a daughter, but I have sons. Everything that we do or say applies to both genders. You know, if you have sons, then just take the same principles and apply them to your son, because they, too, will come for their mother. Even though they don't want to say, I need you, they will do everything that they possibly can just to get close into that energy, into that safe place where they can just sit there for a moment if they don't say anything and leave. So today we're talking about, mother, I need you. And the fact that you have to ask yourself, are your daughter crying out for help? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our daughters would just simply say, mother, I need you? Just say the word. That would just be wonderful. That would make our life simple. We could deal with the issue quickly. We could go directly to the point. But that's, sometimes it's not the way it is, because we have a lot of variables that deals with why that particular daughter is not actually saying simply, mother, I need you. I mean, she's not just saying it because she don't want to say it. There's something there. So that's what we want to talk about today. Well, in most cases, our daughters are not going to tell us that they need us because of the type of relationship that we built from the time they were born up to this point. They will do something hoping that you will realize that they need your help. Their actions will become their words, and they are speaking to you as loud and clearly as they possibly can. Now, when you see a child acting out, when you see someone doing something just to annoy you, and that child is really getting on my nerve, that girl, I'm telling you, I don't know why, she's talking to you. She's trying to get your attention. She wants to say something, but for some reason, she doesn't know how to form the words that will generate the sentences that will generate the conversation. So, and when that happens, you have to ask yourself, why? Why can't she just come to me? Somewhere along the line, something happened and she doesn't feel comfortable to come to you. So they are saying, I need your help, and I don't know where to go, and I don't know who to talk to. Now, over the years, I've heard many mothers say to me that I'm always there for my daughter. I don't understand why she can't come to me when she needs my help. I don't understand that. I'm always there for her. And those are words that you can say, but it's not about saying the words. It's about your actions, too. It's about your past. Have you really been there? Or are you saying that to justify your feelings and to make someone else feel that you are a good mother, that I am there, and I have this wonderful relationship with my daughter. Well, if your daughter can't come to you, then you must ask yourself, do I really have a good relationship with my daughter? Am I pretending? Do I have this image in my head of what I think the relationship should be? So therefore, if it's that, then, you know, I make the call. No input for my daughter or no input for my mother. Keep in mind, daughters, I'm speaking to you, and you just reverse that as well. But as a mother, I come from a mother perspective, because I believe that as the mother, we are the ones that's supposed to go get our daughters. We are the ones that's supposed to keep the relationship alive. Well, the answer is very simple. She's afraid of your words. When a daughter doesn't come to her mother, it's because she's afraid of the words. She doesn't want to hear those words. She really doesn't, because she knows they're not going to be pleasant. They're not going to be comfortable. They're not going to be what she wants to hear. Now, not saying that you're wrong and not saying that you're saying the wrong words. I'm just saying that she doesn't want to hear it. So somewhere along the line, we have to find a way to communicate with our daughters that will make it comfortable for her to hear what you're saying. Because as the mother, we will say things and do things that sometimes it's not comfortable or just right for the daughter, and we're doing what we think is best. But we always have to look back and say, you know, look at the age of the daughter to determine how you translate the communication. You know, if it's a three-year-old child, then you must tailor it according to a three-year-old. But if she's a 12-year-old young lady, then you have to look at she's no longer a small child. I have to tailor my conversation, meaning that you have to select the right words that will generate the right understanding for a young lady of 12, and try your very best to make sure that she clearly understands the meaning behind your words. And the way to do that, you must ask her, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, we tend to do that when she's 3, but when she gets 12, then we tend not to ask that anymore. We tend to assume that she understands what we are saying and that the words are clear. Well, every word has many, many meanings. And you're talking about the context in which the word is placed, the meaning of the word from your perspective when you generate it from within you. No one knows that. Even an adult can't figure that out. That's why husband and wives have issues, or boyfriend and girlfriends, because we're saying words and we assume they understand what we're saying, and words can be interpreted to have many different meanings. So when you're rearing a child, you know you got to be very clear. You got to go back and say, do you understand what I'm saying? And she'll say yes or no. And if she says yes, then you must ask the next question. What does that mean to you? Tell me what I just said and how it affects you. What do you think it really means? And then that way you'll know if that child receives the information the way in which you were trying to deliver it. We're not perfect people, so we have to really check and go back and make sure that we're delivering it. And the key to this thing is called communication. You're not communicating when one person doesn't understand what was said. You know, that's not communication. Those are words that are just spilled out into the universe with simply a one-sided meaning. So your words are not a comfort to her, so she will search for words of someone that she feels that will understand her needs. So when the daughter can't get the words from her mother, she's going to search. She'll have a girlfriend. She'll have maybe another adult, or she'll find those words from a young man. Because whatever she needs to answer, I need an answer to this. This is a situation that I'm dealing with, and I need an answer. I don't know how to tell my mother, because either she's going to yell at me, or she's going to tell me about when she was small or the things that she had to go through. They don't need to hear that. They're not responsible for what you've gone through and your experiences. You need to look at what she's going through, because she's not coming to you asking you, well, what did you go through, Mama, at certain things? Then she does, then answer that question. But if she comes to
to you and she's asking you for something pertaining to her life, then you must elevate your mind and even decrease your mind to meet her. And when I say that, I mean, we can't be here because I always tell people there's 21 and a half years between my daughter and I. So it's going to be hard for her to come up through all 21 and a half years of experiences, trials and tribulations and knowledge and stress and whatever it is that I went through in those 21 years together and understanding where I need to come back 21 and a half years and then get into her world because I've been there. And a lot of times things are similar. It's not that you've had the same situation, but similar situations that you can go back and say, you know, let's look at your issue and don't try to always solve it. Try to use it in a therapeutic situation where you allow the person to talk, you allow the person to search within themselves, and if you keep listening, they will discover an answer. Once a person discovers the answer within themselves, then it becomes a reality. It becomes their belief system, and you have not created it for them. A lot of times I think we as mothers want to create that learning. We want them to get it now. You know, come on, let's get it. This is what we're going to get, you know, and this is it. Let's get through with it and move on next. And it's not that easy. So you have to become a psychologist. Every mother is a psychologist. Now, you don't have to have the degree. You have the degree of life, of living, the experiences, which outweighs any book studying. I don't care how much school you have. If you don't have the real-life situation that you can pull from, then you won't be able to relate to any situation. Now, most daughters attach themselves to the wrong conversation. When they're looking for that conversation from their mother and they figure out, okay, they made the decision, I can't get it from her, then they will go and say, well, I'm going to find it from someone else. Then they attach themselves to the wrong conversation. And they're looking for what is called L-O-V-E. They're looking for love. They feel like they've missed love somewhere. And they look in, as the song says, in all the wrong places. I've heard mothers say to me, I can't believe she's dating that guy. I can't believe she's living with that guy. He's this and he's that. And so they will take the guilt and displace it and put it on the guy. Because, you know, they got to blame someone because they really want to have this relationship with their daughter. So it's got to be the guy. You know, why he's not good enough for my daughter. Well, she chose him. And if she chose him, then she has something that you taught her that she generates that from. I mean, we have to look at the fact that our daughters are mirror images of us. Now, it may be a part of us that we don't want to recognize. It may be a part of us that we want to forget. But there is that mirror. They came from you. And we're going to talk about that later. We're going to bring it home and show you how much influence you have over your daughter from conception. When the real truth is our daughters are listening for the words that she is playing in her head. The words that she says that she envisioned to be loving words. Now, this is what I'm saying. Listen. As a child, a daughter creates an image. And if you remember when you were a child, we used to pretend. And that's why the Bible says you must be like a child in order to enter heaven. Because you have to get outside of this world and all that is happening in the world, in the earthly realm, and actually pretend. You have to believe in something that is not there for you to touch. You have to believe in something that you can't feel except through the Holy Spirit if you're saved. But you have to believe in something greater and outside of yourself and something deep inside. It's not outside of you. So, but as a child, we envision ourselves being a doctor, a lawyer, and we will play those things out, a nurse. And you can't believe that, you know, you're not those things. I used to be a cowgirl. And I tell tell you, man, I was Dale Evans all up and down. Most of you probably don't even know who Dale Evans is, but, you know, I was Dale Evans. And you cannot tell me, because I was raised with boys, so, you know, I had to be tough and I had to run with them. And so, you know, hey, I had to be Dale. They were someone else. They were cowboys. But it was real and it was alive to me. And see, that's the power of the mind and the power of words. Once you put the word to the image and the image inside of your mind, it becomes your reality, especially when the daughter is reared in a house without a father. Now, when you're looking at that, a lot of times when I'm at the schools and I'm talking to young ladies and they are acting out for some ungodly reason, they come to school and they're just angry with the world, it's one of two things. They have a mother that is either outside of the home for some reason, drugs, in jail, just walked away and left them with the grandmother, something. So there's anger there. Or they lived in a house where the father wasn't there and they feel angry, and they always feel that it's something that they've done, because, you know, and even if they wasn't born, it's somewhere along the line they will accept, they will just take on the fact that it's something that I've done. And most psychologists fight with that to go within and try to say, well, what is it that will make a child that was born and the father wasn't in the house, but somewhere along the line it, they believe that it was something to do with them that caused the mother and the father not to be together. And say, for instance, they separate, the young girl, you know, most likely has an image of her daddy, and then it's not going to be an evil image. But she's not going to see anything evil in her daddy. She's not going to be able to, that's not the image that she would project. She's going to project a loving image of her father. And she's going to look at that and live through that all of her life. And so when she's looking for answers, she has a picture, and the minute someone says something that she has translated in her mind to believe this is the image of love and the love that she would have gotten from her father or the love that she would have gotten from her mother, you know, it just feels comfortable, and the reason it feels comfortable is because she's been living with those thoughts in her head. And so anything that you have within yourself, you feel is right. But it's not necessarily right, because we always have to realize, where do we get these words from? And how did these words generate this thought in my head? So the most times little girls are going to have this image. And, of course, they look at their mother, and they're looking to you because they really want to be just like you. When they're little, they want to put on your shoes. They want to put on your lipstick. They want to comb their hair. They want to wear your hat. They want to be like mommy. So they will create a fairy tale. And in that fairy tale is a loving family. Everything is good in the mind of a little girl. Now, that image becomes alive and real as they watch. But in most cases, it comes down to communication. When that little girl goes out and she is thrust into the world, daycare, she watched other little girls and their mothers. She watched the communication. She watched how that mother treats that little girl when she comes picks her up. She watched how she kissed her. She watched how she put her coat on. And she watched how she says, how was your day today? And the little girl says, oh, my day was fine, Mommy. Did you miss me? Yes, Mommy. And she's expecting you to do that when you come pick her up. But on the other hand, if her mother comes in and she walks in and she just, get your coat, let's go. Come on, I'm in a hurry. We got to get on out of here. Get your coat. See, at that moment, she starts creating an image that she's not loved. And you're not realizing, I got to get home, I got to cook dinner, I got to do this and I got to do that. But see, you're being compared because she has already seen what love looks like, and she has accepted that and put that in her mind, in her image, that's what she wants. But she doesn't know how to tell you that's what she wants. So then you start seeing little actions of doing things to get your attention. That's the beginning. And then it grows from there. Then it gets to the point where the young lady comes to you and she starts asking you questions. As she grows up, and she's 12, 13 years old, that's when mothers will say to me, it's when she became a teenager. I'm telling you, she just started going, hanging with the wrong people. We always want to attach it to the wrong people. Always want to say she started hanging with the wrong people. She started talking. She's got this girlfriend, this little girl that she started talking to and hanging around, and then all of a sudden she changed. No, not necessarily. I mean, we can blame other people, but we have to start within our own home. Now, think back. A lot of times when I'm talking to a young lady, 12, 13, 14, 15, they talk a different conversation than the conversation from the mother. The mother puts blame outside. The young lady put blame on the inside. So, therefore, there's no communication. Now, the young lady start asking the mother about family structure. You know, where's my daddy? What about my brothers? Or you love my brothers more than you love me. Or you do more for them than you do for me. And then she tried to engage you into an honest conversation. Now, the moment you try to adjust your thoughts as to what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, she's looking at you with her own thoughts. And at that moment, she's sizing you up. She's sizing you up to see if you're going to tell her the truth. And when you say, well, you know, let's start with the daddy. I don't want to talk about your father at this moment. You know, he's not here, and, you know, that's it. You know, I'm not going to talk about it. You know, and you try to ignore the fact that he's not there. But what you've done, you've created a problem. You created a communication shutdown. Because then now she knows I can no longer mention my daddy to her. She's already told me we're not going to talk about it. Shut down. You treat my brothers better than you treat me. No, I don't. He is the oldest, and because he's the oldest, he needs certain things, and he's in a higher grade, and I have to give him those things because he's in high school. You're not in high school, and when you get in high school, I'll do these things for you. Shut down. Because then now she knows I can't get anything because she's going to give to him first, and I'll get mine one day sooner or later. So just think of the many conversations that you've had with your daughter that became shut down. I don't want to talk about it. So each door is closed, and as many doors as you close unconsciously, Mother, I understand you didn't do it consciously. That's why we're talking about it now, so that you can go back in, because I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am from within, but you know who you are from within, and you know the conversations you have, and I'm giving you little samples so it will trigger something in your mind that you can go back and say, wow. Then you will know why you cannot have an honest conversation with your daughter, or not having an honest conversation is affecting your relationship. And maybe go from there to build it. Now, the moment you try to adjust your thoughts to what you're trying to say, like I say, she's listening, she's hearing, she's already measured you up, she's already got you on a meter from age 3 when she measured her little girlfriend and her mother and how that mother came in and doted on her, and she didn't get it, so she figured, what am I doing wrong? My mother don't love me, I'm not pretty enough. You know, I don't have pretty hair. You know, they'll come up with something to justify why they are not getting what they think they should get. And what most mothers don't realize is that daughter has a spirit inside of her that will alert her of the truth. Just like you know when you're speaking to an adult and you're telling the person, you walk in the room, they're talking, and all of a sudden you feel that they're talking about you, and you say, were you all talking about me? And they looked you dead in the eyes and said, girl, no, nobody's talking about you. Mm-mm. He said, yes, you were. No, we wasn't talking about you. But your spirit will tell you They were talking about you. They were talking about you. And so with that, you just walk away and you say, okay. But all day long, your mind will keep coming back up with this conversation. I know they were talking about me, but that's okay. So the same spirit that you have, God made each one of us with that same spirit. And don't think because that child is small, they don't know or that spirit is not activated. It's activated at birth. So when you speak of the power of the word, remember that the word, the power of the word is felt in your spirit. That's how you know. That's how you know when somebody's lying. That's how you may not be able to prove it, but you know they're lying. But you go on anyway because you figure, well, one day I'll get an opportunity to look back at this and be able to measure it. But you can't prove it. So that brings us back to the point. Mother, I need you. Are your daughters crying out for your help? If your daughter is struggling against you in any way, then there's a distrust in your relationship. That's the first thing you need to know. Because if they trust you, they're not going to struggle. You don't struggle against something that is that you feel comfortable with. When you don't feel comfortable with a person, you can have an honest, true relationship. So there's a distrust in the relationship between you and your daughter when she's struggling. And that alone should make you say, wow, what is it that my daughter distrusts me on? And I'm not standing for that. I'm going to get to the answer. But no. You just walk away and look at all the other circumstances and you move on. But yet you're trying to save everybody else's daughters. You can't save everybody else's daughters until you save your own. And when I say that, every woman is a daughter. If you're trying to help some other woman with her problem, that's somebody else's daughter. How can you help them with their daughter when you have not gotten your daughter straight? So even more importantly, she's crying out for help. She don't know how to put the right words in place to say, Mother, I need you. Please help me. Because she's going off of those conversations that she's had in the past with you that have shut her down, saying, I don't want to talk about that. So there was no honest conversation for her to feel that I can go back and I can ask my mother anything and she's going to give me an honest answer. That's the trust. And if you're not getting that, then there's a distrust in your relationship. As I've said so many times before, we are the mothers, and it is up to us to go get our daughters. God has given you the gift of that child, and there's nothing that I can find that says that you can decide to disregard a precious gift of a daughter that God has given you and just throw it away. He said, do not take your gifts and your talents and discard them. You must do something with them. But somehow or another, we don't look at that daughter as a gift. We look at that daughter just a child, another human being. Your daughter is placed in your life to teach you the lessons that God wants you to learn in this life. She's there to teach you how to love unconditionally. And until you pass that test, you can't go forward. She's there to teach you how to listen. She's there to teach you how to give. She's there to teach you how to tell the truth and how to live a godly life. And most of all, how to forgive and forget. She is your teacher. She is placed in your life to teach you, to measure. And if you can't give it to something that God has given you, then how can you give it to something or someone that God didn't even give you? Someone else's daughter. If you can't pass this test with your own daughter, whom you carry within you every day for 9 months. You have this daughter inside of you every day for 9 months. which equaled 270 days, which gives you 6,480 hours. And every day, remember what I told you some time ago? God gave you a gift every second of breath of life, 840,000 per day. Now, just think about that. You have a daughter inside of you whom you've carried for 270 days, and an average for some months had, I did it on a 30-day, but some months have 31 days or less, depending on when you were pregnant. But just think, that's like 270 days. That's someone that's listening to everything you say, hear every cry, is being nourished by what you eat, is devouring every thought, sharing the love, sharing the hate, sharing everything about you from within. She knows you. She knows you better than you think she knows you. That's why we have a time with our daughters, because we are so much alike. We have the same DNA, but we have the same chemical balance. Now, you think that you can go, you think that you can get to know anyone better than you get to know your daughter, someone that you know from within, someone that knows the inner parts of you. If you don't pass the test with your daughter, you'll never pass the test with other women, or men for that fact. Your daughter's your test. That's why God said you have to study to make yourself worthy of him and those that is made in his image, which is one being your daughter. So, mothers, I'm challenging you now, let's study together and let's pass the test. Now, last week we talked about building a vision board, a board that we will look at what type of relationship we want to have with our daughter, and we're going to build and spiritually connect with our daughters, but more importantly, create a mirror of you within the vision of your mother and daughter relationship. But keep in mind, you have to pass the test. And when your daughter gets her children, she will have to pass the test. We are the test takers. They are the test providers. So now, I've had women call me and they said they're interested. So what we've done, I plan a session on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Write this number down. I want you to call this number. I want you to register so I know how many people is going to be on there. And we're going to create this vision board. And we're going to go through the year, and we're going to see how many of these things happen. And each week we're going to give a report of what we've done on that vision board, and then we're going to look at the results of the bond and how quickly you connect back with your daughter. Write this number down. It's 786-462-6470. 786-462-6470. Leave your name and your phone number. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to text you a teleconference phone number and information so that you can get online at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. And every other Tuesday night, we will meet. And I'm going to appoint someone to head this up. I'm not going to be the one to head it up. So anybody interested in making sure that we get the meeting and get it started and that kind of a thing, be good. But I'm going to start it, okay? Thank you very much. Mother, I need your help. That's our conversation. I'm going to open up the line today. Let's see who we have here. Good morning, 954.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. What do you
in
have this morning? I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. In relation to what I've been hearing and coming from the daughter perspective and not growing up with my mom, I can certainly relate to the topic. And the one thing I do want to say, though, mothers oftentimes get a bad rap because they are blamed for all of life ills, the absence of the father, and everything else that goes wrong in our lives at the present. But I do also want to say, when you don't know how to be that mother or you don't know how to answer those questions, seek wise counsel, study for yourself, pay attention to other mother-daughter relationships, and emulate some of those behaviors. If you don't know, seek the knowledge of becoming a good mother. That's the only way I knew how to be a good mother. Yes, I had my grandmother, but she was from the old school. She didn't give that love and that attention that I craved. So I know for myself that education and taking psychology courses, even before I had a dream of doing anything in psychology, I know for a fact that it is in those studies that I learned to be a good mother. I know it without a shadow of a doubt that I owe everything that I have learned to be a good mother. I don't have daughters. I have sons. But I take those principles, as you said, and I know for a fact that that's why I'm a good mother, because I've read hundreds of psychology books. And it's not, in this day and age, it's not too many women that can't read where they can seek the knowledge that they need to become the mother that God has put them here to become. And with I'm done, so I can let
I thought you were, I thought you had paused there. What I'm looking at too this morning is that when we are talking about the vision board and creating the vision board, it's not to blame any mother, because you know I tell them all the time I am learning, and my daughter teaches me so many things. It's not that we are going to look at what did we do wrong. We're going to look at creating what relationship we want from this point on with our daughters.
Right.
We can't go back and change anything.
Right. And I definitely understood that, but I did want to put that out there about mothers and how oftentimes, and oftentimes mothers, if they've been in the absence of their children or they've raised children without a father, if you will, oftentimes that mother's just waiting for you to come to her that she can give you some advice or give you some answers. But at the same time, again, you got to seek the wisdom and knowledge for yourself in order to know how to become a good mother. It's not an easy task, but it certainly can be achieved because God has put it in you. It's innate in you. But you just got to foster it.
And I agree with that. And so that's why you have to go to the Word. I mean, the Word will teach you. And I'm with you on books. I can't tell you how many books I've read. But I tell you one thing, I never really got it until I went to one book, and that's the book called the Bible. That's when I got it.
But you know, oftentimes people don't know where to go in the Bible, but I often tell people, when you're out, think about your circumstances, think about your relationship with the daughter, because there are so many books that will lead you to the Word of God. You know, if you don't want to start with the Bible, pick up a book that maybe possibly addresses exactly what you've experienced and make sure it's a Christian-based text or anything that will lead you to the Word of God, because that's where you're going to truly find the answers you need to be a great mom.
Well, yeah, of course, though, you know, we are here, Mother and Daughter Bonding Center, so I hope you would refer them to us, and we'll definitely take
Definitely,
right to the
would I refer them to anybody else? Because I've been in your workshops. I know what you can do. I've seen your workshops, and I've seen the effect of what you do. So I wouldn't refer them to anybody else, but definitely if we're not in your community or whatnot, that's a place to start.
Well, you know, when I say it, it's not me. I'm talking about we'll lead them to the Word. I heard you say one thing, and I just want to address that one thing, and that is when you don't know where to go in the Bible, you know, I hear people say that, and I'm a witness of that. I used to say, I read a little bit, and I said, well, I don't quite understand it. You know, I didn't really want to understand it. I just wanted to say I was reading the Bible, I guess, in some way when I look back at it. But anything that I want to know right now, I'll pick that book up and I'll say, Lord, I need some help on this. I need some guidance on that. Give me some wisdom. And I'll have the book in my hand. And I'm honestly speaking to you. And I will just close my eyes and move my fingers, and my spirit will say, here. And I open that book, and when I open that book, it's the answer. It never fails. And it's because the answers are always there, and if you ask for help, you're going to get it. And it's a personal journey. So with this vision board, we're helping ourselves. We're looking at ourselves from within so that we can project outward, because our daughters are a part of our inward projection. It's who we are from within. So there's no right and wrong answers as far as who raised the best daughter, who has the best technique, because we're all working on it. And there's different levels of relationship. The thing is, what type of relationship do you want with your daughter? Your daughter may be different. And in your case, you have sons. You may say, what kind of relationship I want with my son, and build that vision board and still be a part of this whole vision board relationship journey. You can take that and go as far as a relationship with a husband and wife. You can go with a relationship with your sisters, you know, and then say, for instance, if you're trying to do your daughter, your sisters, and your husband, you may have several vision boards that are built, but I would encourage you to start with one vision board and then get through that, and once you've gotten through that, somehow or another, you will address issues that's outside of that vision board for that particular person, because what you're going to do, you're going to start changing from within. And once you start changing from within, as we go through these next weeks of talking and actually being a mentor to each other on where we are, you're going to change, and it's going to appear that the people in your life have changed. But did they, or did you? And that's what I'm looking at. We're looking at progressing from within. So all of those are good points, and mothers, you are not to blame, and that was not my intent, and I know that's not what you were saying, Cynthia, but we must make it clear that you are not at fault. Daughters, you are not at fault. We are in a learning curve. This is a course of life, and each person at different levels of this course, and we're learning, and we're going to come together, and we're going to help each other build that relationship. Last year, we've had so many mothers and daughters that have come together and have just out of nowhere, you know, listening to the ceremony conversations and taking things and going back and putting it into their relationship and come back, and they email me, they call me, and it's just, you know, you said this and I tried it and it worked and I'm writing and I'm doing. And it became a workshop. And God placed on my heart, take that and take it to the next level this year. Take it to the next level, because once a person put their words and their thoughts and their visions together, it becomes a reality. So we're going to say the words that we're going to create this style of relationship with my daughter. And then we're going to think about it. And we're going to look at it through the vision, and we're going to place different things. You know, you're going to get pictures of mothers and daughters laughing and talking, mothers and daughters on vacation. And you cut those things out. Be like a child. Unless you're like a child, then you cannot make it into kingdom. So be like a child. You know how we used to cut things out, color, and we were in our moment. You know, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to start collecting magazines, start looking in them, looking at mother and daughter things, go on the Internet, see where there's laughter, where there's love, where they're studying, where they're sitting by the pond, just all the things that you want to bring forth in your life. And once we get the vision there, then you will not perish in your relationship with your daughter. Does that make sense?
Very well said. Very well said. And it's an awesome idea to do such a thing. And as you said, it will be a course, because we are in a learning curve. And I love the idea. I really love the idea.
Well, you know, God has placed on our heart. Cynthia is one of our ambassadors that worked very hard for putting plannings and things together. And even with all the struggles and things that we've gone through to put a program together, the challenges, we've come to a conclusion of that, finalizing it. It took us a year to do it. But in there, God has placed a course, and we designed a course for mothers and daughters. This is a part of that course. And it's amazing. It just hit me, Cynthia, that God is going to say, you're going to do this. And it was it's like a backdoor approach. It didn't hit me until just a few minutes ago when you said it is a course.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you realize that? This is a part of that course. Thank you, God. He's going to make us do it. And, you know, if you give it to him and say, I will do, and you honestly mean you will do it, then God is going to push you out there to do it. And I told him I would do it, and we designed the course, and this is a part of the course. I didn't think this was the beginning. It's not the way the courses line up as the first thing that we do, but it will be the first thing that we do. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
Have a good one, and I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Good morning, 347. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. I'm doing fine. I'm just here being blessed by your words and your wisdom. And I would like to just say I never in my life have felt that being a mother was an important job. This is Cecilia Evangelist Davis from New York. I never thought that my daughter was a gift and assignment from God. And I never thought that this was that was the most important job that God has given me, and that I would have to answer to that. And the way that you express it throughout the whole year, I was like, wow, that just laid on my heart. That's my assignment from the Most High. And a lot of time, my daughter, since we got a relationship, she comes to me, and if I don't know, the best thing to do is go to the Word, the Bible, and pray about it. And if you can have a relationship with you and your daughter can pray together, that's even more awesome. And that's what I'm working on. And that's one of the reasons why I want to be part of the vision board. And there's a lot of more resources, mothers out there, if you like me, and you're trying to build an awesome relationship and you're trying to fulfill God's assignment in your life. Dr. Bessie have two books. Dream Recipe and 70x7, the mother and daughter bonding every weekend. Even if you don't go on Saturdays, if you're not able to go on Saturdays, you have Blog Talk Radio. And it's just so awesome. And when you listen on Saturday, take note, go back, analyze what's going on, and try to build that relationship. And that's what I'm doing in my life right now. And I just thank you, Dr. Bessie, every week. I learn so much from you. And to understand that the greatest assignment is my child, my daughter, and that's my responsibility, and that's a gift from God. Last year, I wasn't there. And I don't know, maybe a lot of people don't understand, but that is just awesome. That is my assignment. So that is what I'm taking on this year, to have a better relationship with my daughter so my daughter can have an even better relationship with my granddaughters and all the stuff that we went through that they would not go through, and this can go on and on. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and keep doing the work of God, and you'll see you're going to be blessed 200 billion times. Thank you, Dr. Bessie.
Thank you. You know, as you were talking, I was looking back, and you know, it's not me, it's God. Like I tell you, I get up on Saturday morning, and I still sometimes 6 o'clock, like, Lord, what are we talking about today? And he gives it to me the last minute, and I was looking in the Bible at something, and it says, within the hour, he will give you the topic. And I'm telling you, within the hour. So I'm typing up to the last minute every Saturday morning. I've adjusted to it now. I know that's the way God is operating with me. And therefore, when the hour comes or the moment comes and I have to open my mouth and say, good morning, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, your host, it's still in me. And it's still in me at a level of excitement. And God just don't want me to have it on Thursday and pick it back up on Saturday. I have that. But when I was writing this morning, and I looked back, and I saw, you know, some of the things that, I'm trying to see here, make sure I get it. Some of the things that God was telling me, oh, here we go, about the things that your daughter is your teacher. And I was like, wow. Well, I was amazed myself. I mean, I'm learning as I teach. I'm telling you, I'm the biggest student. You know, don't think that Dr. Bessie got it all going on. So just thank God that he is using me to translate some information to mothers and daughters. Because that in myself, I knew it was Angie was a gift to me, but I didn't realize it's like you know something, but you got to get an understanding. And until you get the understanding, then and only then will you get the effects in the pits of your belly, what it really, really means. And then faith come up, and then a shift happens in your life. And you shouldn't do things the same once you get it into your belly. Because, you know, God will give you grace and mercy for things that we don't know. But when he sits here on Saturday morning and you share these thoughts and you get it, you got to do something. Because you can't walk around and act like you don't know anymore. Now that you know that your daughter is your gift, now that you know that your daughter is put there to test you, I mean, really, think about it. Who better to measure who you are than the gift that God has given you? What else can you use? There's nothing on the earthly realm that you can do or say or deal with that's going to impress God. God only say what? He deals with people. He wants you to love his children. And if you can't love unconditionally the child in which you was given as a gift, then who can you love more?
Amen.
It's impossible. So you have to say to yourself, I have got to do better. I have got to learn how to deal with this gift that has been given to me. What do I do with it? Ask God. What do I do with this gift? How do I make it the best? Because you do not want to go and stand at the last minute and have what? Unfinished business. I gave you a gift of a daughter. You tried to love every woman in the church. If a sister called you from the church and said, I need you to come help me do so and so and so, you write on it. If the church calls and says, I need you to help with the kitchen on Sunday morning, you write on it. If the job calls and says, I need you to work overtime, you write on it. But your daughter, look, I don't have time. I'm busy. Well, maybe we can do it later. The most precious thing that you, God gave you, he thought enough of you to select you, to give you a gift of a daughter or a son. That is yours, and he's going to measure you according to how you take care of that gift. You've got to take care of it. You've got to show him. But yet we want God to give us other things. God, you gave me a daughter, but, you know, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can do with her. But now, you know, I need my bills paid. I need you to bless me with some money. I need you to pay my bills off. You can go in church all day long and say, I claim that I'm debt-free and all of these things. But why would he give you more until you learn the lesson? And I'm with you. I'm learning the lessons, too. And that's how I can share it with you, because God has shown me I'm not giving you nothing else until you do this, 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 and this. And I'm working very hard to do this, this, and this. You don't need to tell people what God is telling you to correct, but if you feel this in your spirit, then you need to start working on it, because you're not going to be blessed with the house, the car, the whatever it is that you need, the fun things of life, because none of those matter anyway. But you got to clean up from within. And then he says, I will add those other things. I'll let you play with those toys. Thank you very much. Hope that's a word. Hope that planted seed. And Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, we'll come together, and we're going to start our vision board. And I'm with you. We're all together. We're going to walk hand in hand. Nobody is the expert but God, and we're going to ask him to lead us, and we're going to become better mothers and better relationships with our daughters. Call us 786-462-6470. Thank you very much. Have a blessed week. God bless you, and I love you. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.